This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some more football NFL Lunch style on this Turn It Up Tuesday. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. John Harbaugh met with the media after last night's win, 41-31 over the Buccaneers. Derrick Henry had a monster game, and John Harbaugh talks about what greatness is all about, man.
I mean, I think we've had a confident team. I mean, it's good to go out there. You're talking about offensively and scoring points. I mean, that's certainly, real confidence is gained by doing it. You know, so I think it's good. You know, but our guys don't really think that way. I think our guys think about the things that they didn't do well. I can tell you, Derek, he's on the sideline. I'm trying to congratulate him on the long run up the left sideline that they got him at the 11, and he's mad that they got him at the 11, you know? And I appreciate that. To me, that's kind of what greatness looks like. So we just got to get locked in for next week.
Yeah, he's probably saying I could have had a 92-yard run instead of 81. But I think they've got, at least offensively, you know, the guys, because they're racking up numbers, and all of them are. So the confidence is extremely high. Whereas defensively, I'm not sure that the confidence is that high, because you're sitting on the bus, or, you know, I mean, you're in a game that 34-10 and you win. Let's say they won 34-10 and it's over. Everybody feels pretty good about it. Defense feels pretty good. Special teams, offense feeling good. But then, you know, when you got to win 41-31, and your defense gives up three touchdowns, the defense getting on that plane, they ain't feeling good about themselves. The offense, you know, they're probably talking about, like, wish the old defense had kind of step up a little bit every now. You know those conversations definitely
sure.
Go on.
And I think it's not realistic to expect them to score 41 points every week, too.
No.
Offensively. To give you an idea of what Tampa did, and a lot of this was done when they were chasing, because they were behind, as Trippi said, 41-18. 11 for 17 third down efficiency.
Yeah, for the Buccaneers. I know. That's crazy. And more crazy, the Ravens score 41, Bob, and what, they're 3 for 8 in third downs, you know, so third downs weren't that great for the Ravens.
481 total yardage for Tampa.
Yeah. But here's the thing, and you mentioned it earlier. When they were down 10-0, I'm like, so? Just going to be a matter of time.
Sure.
And then, you know, 34-10, and then it's 34-18. I'm going, oh, my God. And then they get the onside kick. I go, oh, no, here we go. And I'm sure over on the sidelines, they got puckered buttholes, too, instead of, you know, like the announcers. They're talking about all kinds of stuff because it's a blowout.
Yeah, filling time.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, no, now it's a game. I mean, come on, guys. That's why I think, Bob, if there was, like, a pass rush, you know, some guy, can't be just a normal, you know, if you're going to go get somebody, get a real dude, you know, from one of these teams that are not, you know, one of the feeble five type guys.
Max Crosby apparently could be had. And what's Myles Garrett's long-term future in
Cleveland? Well, they're not going to trade him to Baltimore.
I mean, but point is, yeah. Detroit's going to be looking for a pass rush.
No
doubt. Other teams looking to fill that need. And by the way, down 10-0. The narrative that Lamar, because he, you know, quarterback gets the blame and the credit, can't come back from double digits. Well, they were down 10 to Cincinnati, came back and won that, both on the road, by the way. And
three times.
Down 10 last week,
yeah.
Or last night, rather.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, to me, it's, and I don't even think the players, you know, are worried about it, just because their expectations now are offensive greatness. It's like, it's just a matter of time before we get rolling.
Now, John Harbaugh, after the game, was asked about, hey, is this team a finished product, John Harbaugh?
Being here, a very exciting game. Two really good football teams going at it. A lot of football, man. A lot of back and forth, a lot of offense, a lot of plays made. But I'm proud of the guys, and I feel like you look at it, and there's a lot of things we can get better at and we can improve upon, certainly. And we will keep striving for that, for sure. But I think all three phases, even though all three phases could have done some things better, certainly, and we'll talk about those, all three phases came through and they had to in a big way. And our defense had six straight stops.
Now, the defense had six straight stops. Here's the ball possession chart, Bob. All right, Tampa, touchdown, field goal, interception, interception, end of half. So that's two. Missed field goal. Is that a stop?
I guess. Technically, he doinked it off the upright there.
Okay, so that's three. Punt, punt. That's five.
Okay.
Then we got touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. So it was five. And then three touchdowns in a row. So, I mean, it was bad, good, bad.
Baker's interception, we talked about it earlier, turning point in the game. The first pump.
Oh, no doubt. No question.
They're about to be down 10 points again.
Yeah, and Baker just didn't see Humphrey. I mean, it was zone coverage. And Humphrey was like over towards the tight end over there. And then came back in, and Baker even threw it late. I mean, Humphrey was kind of standing there for a second.
It's 5880-1057 The Fan NFL Lunch. Turn it up Tuesday. Speaking of the slow start, Lamar Jackson, any urgency early after being down 10-0?
See a team just moving the ball and putting points on the board without us scoring. We didn't really do anything. Our drive, the first drive, it's like, man, we got to have some urgency with ourselves, and that's what it was. And that, I believe that's what we did. The next couple drives, we started putting points on the board. Those guys were still getting after us a little bit, but, you know, we came out on top.
Bob, the Ravens, after they punted, when Lamar said we got some urgency, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown, fumble, touchdown. So that was pretty good urgency.
Yeah, that was a big-time urgency for that Ravens offense, doing some damage against the Tampa defense that was vulnerable to a lot of things that the Ravens were able to accomplish, too.
They were vulnerable to the pass, Bob, and I thought they were vulnerable to the run because size, linebacker size and stuff. And there was a lot of receivers that were wide open. That was the thing. Lamar didn't, did he really have to make any tough, because he had some tough throws against Washington where he made some tight contested throws, tight window throws. A couple of the likely were tight window throws. He had to make a few.
Well, you heard what we were talking about earlier with the caller, Q, and all his receivers were running free.
Well, to me, Troy Aikman was bitching about the Cowboy receivers saying they run lazy routes and all that. So why don't you just give the credit to the receiver? They're running great routes and stuff, and Monken's calling good plays and Lamar's executing.
Speaking of running free, not to digress, rest in peace, Paul Di'Anno, lead singer original for Iron Maiden, one of their songs, Running Free, passed away at the age of 66. But Derrick Henry, 81-yard jaunt down the side, or that was the second one. 81-yard, he got pushed out of bounds. But second run, which was long and impressive in and of itself. He was led by all people, Lamar Jackson. So what about being that fullback?
No, not really. but, he made a move, cut back cross field. I'm just trying to get him in the end zone. So it's like, I got you. Like, I see this guy, 24, see 31. I thought he was past me with 31. I would have kept blocking him, but he got a lot of yards.
27 made the tackle, I believe, wasn't it? But, yeah, it was really a nice effort by Lamar. I mean, if you're a running back, and you're the other guys on the team, and if I'm a coach, if I'm Harp, or if I'm Munkin, listen, guys, look who's leading our running back down there. You can't get down there and block. Our quarterback's down there blocking. So, to me, that's a really good tape to show, my quarterback's totally committed.
Now, Marlon Humphrey went down with a knee after the two picks. And, he's a guy that we talked about early in the season, Vinny, that, like a lot of the DBs, was not playing up to his potential, but he's had some big turnovers.
Yep.
Hoping for the best when John Harbaugh meets with the media. I guess we'll get an injury update there because Harbsy does not like talking injury.
Yeah, and Bob, I mean, I didn't, you know, you try to watch it again, and it was on the second interception was the play, and I didn't see, like, knee buckle or anything like that. So I don't know what it was, but it was a hell of a catch. And he was playing, you know, he gave up one crossing route across the middle to Godwin, who made a nice catch on a double catch. But other than that, was playing physical. And he's, right now, Bob, I think he's second in the NFL in interceptions with 4.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back, talk about 5. The Feeble 5, who are the 5 worst teams in the NFL through the first 7 weeks of the season, which wrapped up last night with 2 games. Ravens win, Arizona wins as well, so stay tuned for that. Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com. We'll look ahead a little bit to Week 8 and that trade deadline. Some of these powerhouse teams like Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, if you will, what do they need to add to take themselves to the next level in the second half of the season?
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble 5.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. A couple more segments to go. If you want to rock, send your song request plus for text line. 410-583-1057. We gave you the Dirty Dozen earlier in the show, led by the Kansas City Chiefs, number 1, Ravens, number 2, Dirty Dozen, 12 best. Who are the 5 worst, otherwise known as the Feeble 5?
All right, let's go back to Week 7. And it was, number 1 was Cleveland, 2 was Carolina, 3 New England, 4 Jacksonville, 5 Tennessee. All right, so coming in at 5... this week, Week 8, the 2-5 New York Giants.
You suck!
Yes, they do. They lost to Philly 28-3. They are hosting Pittsburgh on Monday night. The Giants' offense, 28th in rushing yards per play and 28th in passing yards per play.
Oh, they're exciting to watch.
Oh, boy. How happy you think Barkley was that he's not there?
Oh, he ran like a guy that was... not only pissed off, as you said earlier, yeah, but was happy. It was his old stadium, too, his old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
And he was getting booed every time he touched the ball. You could see through his helmet he was smiling ear to ear.
No doubt about it. Coming in at 4, 1-5 Tennessee.
You suck!
They lost at Buffalo 34-10. They're at Detroit. The Titans, they've been outscored 57-12 in the fourth quarter.
I guess they forgot DeAndre Hopkins is on the team, who probably wants to be off the team within the next couple of weeks.
Oh, man, no doubt about it. I wonder if the Ravens are worse than that, 57-12. No, they've scored more than that, but they've probably given up. They've given up a lot. Coming in at 3, 1-6 New England.
You suck!
Yeah, lost to Jacksonville 32-16. They're hosting the Jets. Pats are the worst team in the AFC, allowing 46.5% of third downs to be converted.
Yeah, they made Jacksonville look like the greatest show on turf.
Oh, boy.
Sunday morning.
Drake May's showing a pulse.
Yeah, got a big arm.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of like what I'm seeing from him, and it'll be good work for him the last part of the season. Coming in at 2, these guys are hopeless. 1-6, Carolina.
You suck.
They lost at Washington 40-7. They're at Denver. In the Panthers, 6 losses. They've been outscored by 147 points, 24.5 points per game. I mean, they don't mess around. When they lose, they get the crap kicked out of them.
And you know, as good as the Ravens have been, they won 5 in a row. They lose at home to the Raiders,
yeah,
who the very next week get their asses kicked by Carolina.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Yes. And coming in at number 1, 1-6 Cleveland.
You suck.
They lost to Cincy 21-14, and they're hosting Baltimore. Browns quarterback have been sacked an NFL high 35 times in 7 games.
And Watson didn't get hurt on sack. He was trying to get out of trouble and pop the old Achilles there.
Yep, and... Jameis Winston, if I recall, Bob, he likes sit in the pocket. He likes throw deep, and he likes take sacks.
Hey, recipe for success if you're Zach Orr.
What do you think that sounds like, Norm? They're going to have to go sign somebody to be the backup.
All I know is Jameis always good for a soundbite. Always good.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to give the pep talk before the game. So, in summary, one is Cleveland, two is Carolina, three is New England, four Tennessee, five the Giants. Who do you think ends up with the first pick of the draft of those five?
I'm leaning Carolina.
Yeah.
They're really, really bad. I mean, Cleveland kind of hangs around in games and, you know, get lucky. It won't be Sunday against the Ravens, by the way. But Carolina, I think the worst is yet to come for them.
Well, Cleveland will need a quarterback. Carolina will need a quarterback. New England doesn't need a quarterback. Tennessee will need a quarterback. And the Giants need a quarterback. So four of those five all need quarterbacks.
And Raiders are probably clanking around that area, too.
Yeah. And Deion's saying, no, my kid's not going there.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fed schedule for week 8. Yes, it's week 8 in the NFL already. Thursday night in L.A., it's the Vikings and the Rams. Minnesota coming off their first loss of the season. Speaking of boring, the Rams beat the Raiders. Yeah, it wasn't a thrilling game, even though it was close. Vikings -3. Ravens at Cleveland. Ravens now 9-point favorites. It was 11 earlier in the day, and I'm sure this thing will keep fluctuating throughout the course of the next few. But Baltimore trying to keep that thing rolling, winners of 5 in a row. Philly is at Cincinnati. How about the Bengals laying 2.5 at home?
Yeah.
Trying to get to 500. Huge game for them. 0-3 at home, too.
Yeah, and Bob, you know what's funny is like, offensive outburst versus the Ravens, but then the last two wins, they ain't looked that great offensively.
They labored through those two wins. Tennessee, as Vinny mentioned, at Detroit, Lions -11. Cardinals, who won last night, they're at Miami. Looks like Tua's going to be back for this game. Oh, will not wear the Gazoo helmet, though. He said he's going all natural. And he understands the concerns, paraphrasing as he met with the media yesterday, but that he's not going to wear the big giant helmet.
Oh, I'm picking Miami this time, Bob. Those receivers will feel like, I finally got a chance.
Yep, -3, Dolphins at home, Jets at the Patriots, as you mentioned. New York -7.5 in that game. I think New England getting 7.5 at home. Anyway, we'll do our picks later in the program, or later in the week when we get into week 8. Atlanta, Tampa, hey. Atlanta's 2.5-point favorites at the Bucs. Those receiver losses looming large for old Baker Mayfield there.
I tell you what, Bob. I mean, what do you think the game would have been like if Evans hadn't gotten hurt?
Or he would have caught the touchdown pass.
Yeah. I mean, because they were... Baker was 11-13 at that time. And they were running the ball pretty good, too. So, yeah, That was a big time change in momentum there.
Green Bay is at Jacksonville, Pack -4.5. These are all 1 o'clock games, by the way. And the Colts are at Houston -6, getting into the later window. New Orleans, who's been dreadful, they're at the Chargers, who lost last night. Chargers -7. Bills at Seattle. This could be an interesting game. Mm-hmm. Seattle wins at Atlanta handily. Buffalo laying 3 on the road.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. That's a little surprising. I mean, that Seattle offense, well, is Metcalf okay?
A little knee bangage.
Yeah.
Walker's a stud, the running back.
Bob, I mean, his change of direction and his speed, and he's got some size to him, too. He's fun to watch.
Hey, he was making diving catches out of the backfield, too. Carolina, who Vinny just talked about, they're at Denver. How about the Broncos laying 9?
Whoa!
They barely scored 9 points a game.
Yeah.
Kansas City's at the Raiders. Chiefs -10. Chicago's at Washington. We talked about this earlier with Jaden Daniels probably not going. His line has changed. Chicago's -3 in this matchup. Sunday night, Dallas at San Francisco. 49ers -4.5.
Oof.
Ayuk's done for the year. Samuel was in the hospital yesterday.
Yeah.
Dallas coming off a bye. I don't know where to go with that one.
Yeah.
Dallas 3-0 on the road.
Yeah. If Dallas is going to win one, this is one to get the Niners. I mean, the Niners lose, Bob. They go to what, 3-5?
And if you're looking to cure your insomnia, Monday night Giants at the Steelers. That should put you to sleep by halftime there.
Yeah.
Steelers -6.5.
Ooh. Russell Wilson, tail of two halves. He was throwing medicine balls in the first half. Looked like old Russell Wilson in the second half there.
Yeah. Well, I'll watch it just because I want to see the Steelers. Otherwise, you're right, Bob. It's kind of like the Sunday morning game. I didn't watch 1 second. Jacksonville and New England.
New England. It looked like Jacksonville was going to get blown out. They showed Shad Khan in the box, and he was running hot.
I'll bet.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. More football talk coming your way. We got from CBSSports.com, Brian DiArdo. He's always fun to talk to. Then it's a fun out trip, Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. It's Turning Up Tuesday. Let's rock on The Fan. From CBSSports.com, let's welcome back to the program Brian DiArdo. Brian, what's up?
Hey, guys, doing great. How about yourselves today?
We're all right. It's a victory Tuesday. We're not sitting here listening to people want to fire coaches and cut quarterbacks. We're kind of enjoying what's happening. And with Derrick Henry, he's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's 40-year-old rushing record. In fact, it's 40 years. It's kind of mind-boggling, to be honest with you, since Feeney and I actually remember that thing. But 6.5 yards per carry. He's coming in from Tennessee. Did you have an issue or a concern, rather, with Derrick Henry? He's coming off 1,100-yard season, 4.2 per rush, coming in, trying to mesh with Lamar. Looking back, best you can, Brian, Henry to Baltimore, how did that move the needle for you, thinking that he would be as good as he's been so far?
Well, a few things. First, thanks for having me, as always. Secondly, yeah, I got the bad draw last night. I got the other Monday night game that had 32 combined points, and it started a little later, so the coffee's been brewing today, let me tell you. But, on to your question, I thought it was a slam dunk. And I think, there's two things. Mostly I get things wrong, like most media people. Aaron Rodgers would agree with that, right? But I will say, I thought that Jaden Daniels and the Commanders would be good. I didn't think they'd be this good. And I thought that Derrick Henry would be great for Baltimore. I just didn't think this good, right? So I think both things can be true. I thought both would be good. Not this good, but and as you alluded to, his numbers were a little bit down last year, but I more attributed that to his surroundings, what was going on with the Titans, what's still going on with the Titans, to be honest. And, my biggest question was the wear and the tear and the durability factors. As we all know, the stereotype with running backs is when they turn 30, what happens to them? And I am surprised that Justice Hill isn't getting a little bit more work. I believe he's still is third on the team that carries behind Lamar and obviously Derrick Henry. But I think how the Ravens are using him, I think how he fits the system, I think the health and the strength of that offensive line and the blocking they have. They still have a fullback, which is like extinct now in the NFL, basically. And I think how he's taking care of his body, and that's obviously been a big thing. And I know ESPN did a feature, before the game about Derrick Henry, how he's taking care of his body. I will say, that's commendable. It really is. Just the professionalism of him. He understands where he's at in his career, what he needs to keep doing. So I think that's just one element. That's probably maybe among the biggest reasons why he's had so much success. But, yeah, I was born a year after Eric Dickerson broke that record, but I know all about the 21.05. It's amazing. I was literally thinking earlier this year, before the year started, I don't know when this record is going to get broken because of how far away we've gone from the running game. I will say this. If he breaks this record, the fact we're even discussing it is amazing, but if he breaks this record, it's got to be one of the greatest accomplishments in league history. Not only is it a 40-year-old record, but the fact that he's doing it in the year of 2024, he'd be the first 2,000-yard running back. He'd be the first guy to do it over the age of 30. What an amazing career this guy's had.
Now, Brian, do you think, because of where the Ravens are defensively, do you see them adding something in the trade deadline to boost that defense?
Yeah, I think they should. I think they should absolutely look into it. And I think you could look at, the Jaguars. One of the issues is, because I know the Steelers are looking for pieces like the Ravens are, but the issue is, the Browns are one of those teams that are already selling. They already got rid of Amari Cooper, who would have looked great for the Steelers, but obviously you're not going to get – you wouldn't think you would get somebody from Cleveland given that they're a division rival. So now you've got to look to Jacksonville. They're another team that I would imagine is going to be a buyer or a seller, right? So, there's a few other teams out there that you could potentially try to get trades for. But I think that they should. I think there's probably some good defensive backs out there that they could that could be had. I mean, New England is another team that you know. I mean, their coach basically just said that their team's soft. So once you kind of go that far, you know, obviously they're not too high on their players. I think they will. I think that's a great point. I think they're going to make some moves, try to get a veteran defender in there. I mean, the crazy thing about Baltimore is, you know, yeah, their secondary is struggling. I mean, some of that obviously last night was Tampa Bay's playing catch up. So all those stats are going to go against them, but they built such a big lead. And Dallas was the same thing. They built such a big lead. And you know, the Bengals game was just a straight up track meet. And since T. Higgins came back, no one's been able to stop Cincinnati's offense. So I do wonder how much of it really is overblown. And again, you know, Baltimore's first in the league in run defense. So how much of it is, hey, we know going in, we're not going to run against this team, so we have to throw. So I don't think it's one of those things where they need to give up too much, but you need to at least test the market, see who's out there, and it can't hurt, obviously.
What did you like Russell Wilson's performance, and what do you think that's going to do for the Steelers moving forward?
Yeah, I thought it was very strong. You know, not the bounce pass in the first quarter, that was an incompletion. It didn't start great, right? But I think that has to be understood. I mean, it was his first game, the live action in 10 months, and he barely played. I mean, he barely played at all in training camp, and the preseason, I think, played in one game. So, but I thought once he settled in, he did really well. You know, I think one of the dirty secrets in the league is the Jets' defense is not as good as we all expected, especially against the run. Their pass rush has been very good. So definitely an impressive performance, but I want to wait and see a little bit more before I really start to go crazy with the Steelers. I think this game against New York, I think, could be a sneaky game for them because it's a trap game, right? It's right before their bye week. The Jets aren't very good. Or, I'm sorry, the Giants. The Jets aren't good either. But so right. Now, as far as their whole trajectory, I don't see it changing a lot. I think they're a more solid – I feel more confident saying they're going to be a playoff team. I still think Baltimore's going to win the division. But I think with Russell, if he can stay healthy, I think he does – he brings an element of – his touch passing, I think, is the far superior thing than Fields. And I think that's where they got better. I will say I was very surprised that Fields never saw the field at all. I think the Steelers should create some packages for him to get defenses more honest, because that was one element of Fields' game that was gone you know, on Sunday night.
Now, when you look at the Browns and their organization, what do you see right now? You got Watson out. They traded Cooper. You know, they're 1-6. What do you see from the Browns?
It's like that Homer Simpson gif when he walks into the bushes and comes out with different shirts. So I think in Cleveland now, they went from the Browns to the Guardians. Now they're going to the Cavs. I mean, it's a dumpster fire. It really is. And I mean, yeah, I think they're going to continue to be sellers. I don't know who much else you could get rid of. I mean, and again, that's kind of the shame of it is, I mean, they have some nice defensive backs, you know, like Grant Delpit and guys like that, and Newsome, that could be nice pieces for the Ravens, but obviously that's not going to happen unless the Ravens are going to make them an offer they can't refuse. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a pretty sight. I think that they're going to be better off with Jameis Winston. Obviously, he came in, threw a touchdown pass after Deshaun and Thompson Robinson got hurt, so he'll provide some stability. You know, Nick Chubb, you know, wasn't great this past Sunday, but it was his first game back, so maybe they can establish more of a run. But you know, with Cooper being gone, it's just, I mean, he was their top receiver, so after him, you know, that passing game is not going to be great. But I'll give them a lot of credit for this. That defense fights. They, you know, Jim Schwartz is doing a really good job with that group. They'll fight. They won't be an easy win. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves. So, you know, they're a team you can't sleep on as far as when you play them, but they're not going to be a serious threat to anybody. And that's, I think, one of the things that every AFC North team can take advantage of. That's what they all should take advantage of is, what do you do against Cleveland? We just saw that the Bengals took care of business, albeit it was a kind of an ugly defensive game. And that's what the Ravens have to do. That's what the Steelers have to do.
Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com. Brian, always great talking to you. I know you didn't get the most exciting Monday night matchup with Arizona. Hey, former Terp Chad Ryland winning the game against the Chargers. But we'll talk to you down the road. We got the trade deadline coming up in a couple of weeks. So always great to hear from you.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks, guys.
All right, Brian.
You got it. Brian DiArdo, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan won't come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7, The Fan.
Let's start with Howard in Baltimore, who says Lamar is well on his way to a third MVP award, and this offense appears unstoppable. I have no idea what Todd Bowles was thinking in that fourth quarter. What terrible coaching. Run the ball, end the game before someone gets hurt, and you see what happens.
Well, they were down 10, and yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem either way. But the week before, or no, when they were playing, who was it, Bob, when they pulled, Ravens pulled theirs and then they pulled theirs too. That wasn't Washington. Was that Cincinnati or was that Washington? One of them pulled. When Lamar came out, their guys came out.
No, Cincinnati was overtime.
Yeah, Cincinnati came out.
Yeah, it wasn't Cincy.
Let's see. We got Chris checking in. Says, the thing I love about Lamar the most is since his freshman year going back to Louisville, always finding ways to improve different aspects of his game year after year. Meanwhile, the haters running out of reasons to hate.
Well, to me, it doesn't seem like, Bob, there's many haters calling anymore. Used to be there was, you know, quite a few, but, I mean, he's not giving them any reason to hate.
Yeah. They lay an egg against Cleveland.
Yeah.
They'll be back. They're lurking. They're waiting.
Right.
Quietly.
Well, they're not coming back.
Swirling their potion of...
if at all, until the postseason.
Well, let me just say this, though. I mean, every year that he has played, and him being healthy, he's been up for the MVP every year, if I'm not mistaken.
At some point in time.
Yeah, right. Usually at the beginning of the year, then he got hurt in those other couple years, but... they were like, he was like running away with it at that time.
And they've also been playoff contenders every year he's been the quarterback.
Right. When the years he did get hurt, they were leading the way or leading the division at least at the time of his injury.
I think in 21 when he got KO'd for the year and they wound up missing the playoffs, they were the number one seed in the AFC. And then he hurt his knee. I think it was against the Browns.
Yeah.
Owusu-Koramoah got him running out of the pocket.
I thought last night, Bob, they were going to make him come out and go get the concussion check when they hit him in the head.
Got another texter.
Looked clean yesterday.
Speaking of Lamar, this texter says, Lamar's body language in these big primetime games is what stands out the most to me about his game. He knows he's about to go off in front of a national audience, and he's running around laughing and smiling like it's a schoolyard game.
Now, we were talking, was it last year, Bob? We were talking like he doesn't look like he's having fun.
That was before he signed his contract extension.
Yep. And then now, I mean, he is smiling and jumping. And, you know, he's having a blast again.
That was the year he quit on his teammates, remember?
Yes.
Not showing up.
Second year.
Well, allegedly.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, it wasn't just that. I mean, we've seen him in the past. When things aren't going his way, maybe he's got some interceptions or a fumble. I mean, he'll throw his helmet. You know, he's pretty boisterous on the sideline, so he kind of wears it, good or bad. Let's see. I got one more. This texter here, Tim in Florida, says, Ravens, great to see them utilize the screen passes a lot last night. Would love to see a lot more of that moving forward. Help neutralize the blitz.
Well, they were masterful last night, the screens. The one for the touchdown and then the one to get them back in field goal range because they ran it twice in a row, remember?
Yep.
You know, and that was blocked well. So, yeah, I think Todd's kind of expanding things.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Woman Crush Wednesday. Talking about all things sports related. See what happens over the course of the next few hours. NBA starts tonight. Going to be one of the subjects we will address. Inside Access coming up here in just a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.